Good morning, everybody. That film is so, so huge. The impact that could happen to this country, besides other countries, could be awesome. As I was watching that, I'm thinking, if people take this seriously and do what they're supposed to do, there would be no need for this message that I'm going to share today, which would have been fine with me. I really miss. This is Pastor Appreciation Month. When I'm up here in front, whenever I have to, or Barry, we really appreciate our pastor, especially when he's here, because that means we're not up here. So when he gets back, thank him for him being the loving, caring pastor that we have in this church. He is not only our pastor; he's our friend. Barry and I had a situation one time where we were somewhere and one of the head ups from the conference made a comment about how nice it was that his elders, pastor's elders, were there to support him. And I said, well, why wouldn't we? He's not only our pastor, he's our friend. And I got the weirdest look. I'm thinking, what did I say wrong? I'm thinking back, I think I said the right thing. But so I asked Dennis later, and he goes, no, they are told and taught in their schooling, you are not supposed to be their friend. You are their pastor. You are not a friend. And Dennis says, that is not me. He goes, I am foremost, utmost, yes, your pastor, but he says, I am a friend. He cares about every one of us in here, and he truly means it. So when I made that comment and I got that weird look, I'm thinking, wow, what? Did something not come out of my mouth that I thought came out of my mouth or what? But no, he really cares for this church. So this month, I don't know, we're going to try to hopefully get something going so we can have maybe a potluck after church some Sunday in appreciation for our pastor. Yes?
Is somebody designated to collect a love offering? Do we have a designated person that we wanted to
do? We could do that. Would you like to do that? Okay. That would be an awesome, awesome thing. If you want to give toward a gift to Pastor, Renee said she won't be here next Sunday, but you can see myself or Sherry or anybody else, you know, Barry, we could do that and get a special gift for him. Good thinking. Very good. I know last year was really neat. We had, kind of scared Dennis, though, because when we had the Pastor Appreciation Day, we told him that he wasn't doing the sermon. He's supposed to sit down and just enjoy, and he's like, uh-oh. Kind of scared him. He thought maybe he's being fired or something. But then all of a sudden, all these police officers start coming in. He said that it wasn't too bad at first until two uniformed police officers came in. He's thinking, uh-oh. What happened? He's always think the worst. Unfortunately, you see a police officer walk in the line of duty, it's like, oh no, what's going on? But that really hit him good last year because the Freeport Police Department appreciate him more than what he ever knows. He's able to talk to them and deal with them on a one-to-one basis besides a whole squadron. For those of you who don't know much about police officers have a very hard shell. It's hard to get inside of them. And he has done that. He is so much appreciated. And the thing nice I thought was kind of nice too, the police officers thank the church for allowing him because they know that the church has the final say whether he does this or not. And they really appreciate the church and the people in the church saying, yes, we think this is a good deal. You become chaplain of the Freeport Police Department. He has touched many lives. He has, there's been several who have accepted Christ because of it. So that's pretty good. Okay, what I'm going to share today, I've been praying about this, and everything kept coming back to our U.S. the way it is today, with this whole shutdown of the government thing. It really made me stop and think about a lot of things. Our country is getting so far away from God, it's scary. So I'm going to read out of Genesis 6, 5 through 22, talking about Noah. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of his thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth. Men and animals and creatures that move along the ground, and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have also have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people of the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark out of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark to make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons, and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of every living creature, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. My thought is, what's stopping God today from just wiping us off? I mean, our country is veered away so far from what it was intended. We're supposed to be able to praise and worship God. Many of us do. Unfortunately, we're the minority, I'm pretty sure. You see some of the violence that goes on right now. We have government who's trying to do their own personal agenda, not listening to what the people want. Trying to shove stuff, down our throats constantly. In Genesis 6:6, the Lord was grieved, his heart was filled with pain. Sin is God's sorrow. And if sin's God's sorrow, I mean, he's got to have a heart just ripping apart. Chapter 6, verse 7, when he said, I will wipe mankind from the face of the earth, in this period, grace was coming to an end because of the lack of morals of the people. Animals, creatures, and birds. Though morally innocent, the animal world, as creatures under man's corrupt rule, they shared in man's judgment. Is our world any different today? Morally, our society is corrupt and getting worse all the time. Our society has been responsible for taking the Bible and prayer out of schools, removing the Ten Commandments from public places, trying to remove under God from the Pledge of Allegiance. It's no longer a Christmas pageant or a Christmas break. It's a winter pageant or winter break. Television has been getting worse all the time. 25 to 30 years ago, you rarely heard a swear word. Never seen murder or sexual activity on TV. But now it's a common occurrence at any time, day or night. Our government and our society deviated from the original version of separation of church and state. They took it and used it for their own personal agenda, not what it was originally supposed to be. Originally, with my study and looking at it, what that was set up for is they could say the government couldn't say, okay, you're all going to become Church of God, or you're all going to be Catholic, or you're all going to be Lutherans, or whatever the case may be. That's what it was supposed to be. Teaching evolutions in our schools instead of the real truth, which is creation by God. We need to be more like Noah in verses 8 and 9. The Bible says that he found favor. He was righteous, blameless, as he walked with God. This does not mean that he was sinless, for we are all sinners. Romans 3:23 states, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Noah was a God-fearing man who understood what God expected of him. In verses 10 through 13, God tells Noah that the world is corrupt and is full of violence. So God informed Noah that he was going to put an end to all the people and he was going to destroy all. Before we start talking about the ark, when people think of the ark, the first thing they think of is this picture that Julie's going to put up here in a second. That's the first thought, because you know, growing up in all the little children's books, that's what we see. Everything's hanging out all over the place and all that. But lately, I cannot remember, I wrote down at home, and I cannot remember the guy's name. I think it was in Amsterdam, where the guy actually built an ark. This is the actual size of what it's supposed to be. He took his own money, and then I guess other funding became available to him, and he actually built this. You can actually go through it and tour this. I think it would be awesome to go, you know, to go see this. But that is the size of the ark. Not the first one that we've seen, animals all hanging out all over the place. That would have been a little bit uncomfortable for everybody, I think. But it is amazing, though, there is people who have a heart for God and want to do stuff like this to show, hey, this is the real thing. And as I was on the internet looking, I can't remember where they're pretty sure that they had a picture. They found the original ark. And I cannot, anybody remember where that was?
I think it's in Turkey.
Yeah. Turkey. Turkey. There you go. Yes. And they had a picture of it. And it's like, wow, yeah, that's really pretty neat. But in verses 14 through 16, God informs Noah that he is to build an ark out of cypress wood. And coat it inside and out. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. The word ark is a Hebrew word used in reference to a basket that saved the baby Moses. It means a basket or a box that is watertight. Could you imagine the ridicule that Noah got from all of his neighbors? They probably thought he was absolutely nuts. First of all, it had never rained like that before. Their moisture came out of the ground. It never rained from the actual sky at that time. So they probably thought, man, he was ready for the loony bin, call the little guys with the white, you know, white straight jackets and haul him out. It took Noah 120 years to build the ark. And the size of it, you know, as we just seen, that would take a long time. I mean, even with Rob's skills as a carpenter, it would take him a long time to do that. The ark was built in three separate levels. With the dimensions of the ark, it would have weighed 13,960 tons and would have been 1,396,000 cubic feet. It took much faith for Noah to continue to build the ark. With all the teasing he received and not seeing a global flood. I'm sure when Noah spoke of the ark, some people probably just stared at him with a withering silence and disbelief. Some would openly scoff, calling him crazy, but God said it would happen, so in Noah's mind, it was going to happen. Noah had faith. He knew the day would come soon when God would cause the water to rise upon the earth and destroy the civilization in which he lived. It took Noah and his family over 100 years to build the ark. To build the ark in such proportions as the Lord had detailed must have been difficult. But not only had God given him three strong sons, he also promised to be with him every step of the way. The Lord would have made sure Noah was able to obtain everything he needed. Noah's faith was surely magnified daily as the Lord overcame every obstacle for him. When the ark was complete, the door stayed open and all the animals were in the ark. On the seventh day, God closed the door. This must have been when Noah knew that the great event was just moments away. Noah was informed to bring his wife, three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, along with their wives. He was informed to bring two of every kind of living creature, male and female, to keep them alive with them. Two of every kind of bird, every kind of animal, and every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come and be kept alive. We were going through Genesis, creation, through Ken Ham. The point was brought up at that point in time, too. These weren't full-grown animals. Probably they were more the younger ones, so you don't have the old trying to keep alive and all this. But it was younger, so they were smaller also, which would have helped for room-wise. He's also to take every kind of food for his family and the animals to eat. Could you imagine all the animals, birds, and other kinds of creatures all in one boat? The noise. I mean, Whitney came over last night and brought her two dogs. Plus, we had Eric's dog and Deidre's dog. I almost went back to Shannon and go down to work free. I mean, it was wild in our house last night. Besides having all the people in there, I can't imagine having the whole ark full of animals. That would just be. Whew. There would have been giraffes, camels, elephants, zebras, rhinos, buffaloes, sheep, pigs, moose, dogs, cats, monkeys, goats, many birds, and lions, and tigers, and bears. Oh my. Noah had his own personal floating zoo. In my opinion, there were a few things I wish he would have forgot, such as mosquitoes, wood ticks, which totally just freaked me out. I hate them. Asian beetles and earwigs. Yeah. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters covered the earth. That's when all the springs in the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of heaven were opened. And the rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. The waters flooded the earth for more than 150 days. The floodwaters kept rising for an additional 110 days after it stopped raining. The waters receded for over the next 74 days. After 40 days, Noah sent a raven out of the ark. After another 7 days, Noah sent out a dove. After another 7 days, the dove was sent out the second time, and they always returned because there was no place for them to land at that point in time. The third sending out a dove was after another 7 days, and after another 29 days elapsed, same thing. 57 days after, from when the covering of the ark was removed to the final day, for a total of 371 days in the ark. What would it be like to be in Noah's shoes? What would we do if God came to us and told us to do something like that? Would we listen? Or would we just kind of go, yeah, God, right, whatever. What was life like aboard the ark during the flood? The Bible tells us very little about that time, so we can only speculate. After 40 days and nights of rain, thunder, cataclysmic noises, and endless rocking of the ark, the 41st day arrived. Noah was barely asleep when all of a sudden he thought, wait a minute, why is it quiet? The moment when he had opened his eyes and knew there was something very different. In Genesis 9, 7 through 17, "As for you, be fruitful and increase in number, multiply on the earth and increase upon it." Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, and all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by floodwaters. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is a sign of my covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all the living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and you and the life of earth." I don't know about you, but I love watching rainbows. They're awesome. One time we were coming home from the Mall of America, just got off the interstate, heading down, coming just down by Baraboo, down where the armory is. Just, I can't remember the road name. We're driving along, and there's this beautiful rainbow. So I'm watching this beautiful rainbow, and I got pulled over by a county cop for speeding. I'm doing 67 in a 55. I looked up and seen the squad turn around. I'm like, crud. So I just pulled over. Luckily, being a police officer, that helps. Walked up and asked for ID, so opened my wallet and see my badge. "Oh, you're an officer." "Yes, sir." "Well, Mr. Woodley, slow it down next time. And if you see a rainbow, have your kids and wife tell you all about it. Don't look at it. You got it. No problem." So luckily I was a police officer. I'd have been paying a pretty hefty fine. We need to have faith like Noah had and many others in the Bible, including many who are living today. A good example of this is Billy Graham, a man who for years has preached the Word of God and still is today. Retirement is not in Mr. Graham's vocabulary. As for us, there is no retirement for us being as a Christian. It makes me wonder from time to time, with our world the way it is today, corrupt, why doesn't God just end it all right here? I feel that we are just as corrupt, if not worse, today. It must really sadden God's heart to see the mess that we are making of his creation and how far our society is moving away from him. The only bright spot for God is the ones of us who love him with all of our beings and fear him for who he really is. My prayer today would be that all of us would just take a good look at ourselves and ask ourselves, if God sent Jesus to come to us today, would he say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Or would he say, "I know you not"? I pray that each one here who hear the words of God saying, "Good and well done." So I just want to continue praying that our church continues to do what we're doing with this whole Billy Graham, with my hope, and we could really do a huge change. I just pray that the entire nation will get on board with this. I know there are, what pastors say, 27,000 churches nationwide who is involved with this. I pray everybody takes it seriously and looks to those people that you have on your list to talk to. If you're not doing it, you can still talk to people. I had a friend last night, well, yesterday that I talked to down, down at Shannon. He's, they're one of them on my, on my list. And he said, some people you can see fake, in people. So be honest and be true. Live the way that God wants you to live, and not be a hypocrite. Because boy, they see it; they can see it easy. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all that you do in this church. We thank you that you are the God of this church. We thank you for the leadership of this church. And Lord, just pray that we continue to look to you for our wisdom and our strength and our guidance. Lord, there's tough times. And we just continue, Lord, trying to stay strong. I just pray, Lord, that each one here would look to you, and that we could continue, Lord, to be your shining beacon throughout. I pray, Lord, that we reach out and we touch those who we're looking to bring into your kingdom. Nothing would be worse than knowing you have a friend and that friend dies and is going to hell. Lord, I just pray for each and every one here that they would keep you near and dear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.